Hey guys, welcome back to Simply You. Be here, be real, be you with Harley Basham. Thank you all so much again for tuning in this week. I'm so excited to get into it with you guys. Oh my goodness. I have missed you all so much. I have just been honestly feeling so grateful and thankful for you guys and this community that we're building and just the process of this all. I mean, I was literally talking to my mom about it a couple of days ago, just with how I literally launched this in February, because I'm the type where I can have really big dreams, and I do see really big dreams and really big visions for this podcast and for just this brand in general. And knowing myself as well too, I'm the type where it's like, I just believe in something so much, and just like, until I see it come to life, it just almost like itches me alive. And I've just been learning to love that itch, truthfully. Like, that itch I've been learning is something that keeps me going. And like, I don't know, it's like the process of turning something into life is truly just so fun. So I'm just so excited to be back here with you guys and get into it. I have a really, really exciting topic and conversation for us today. So without further ado, welcome back to Simply You. Yay! So I wanted to talk about the Enneagram test today, which bear with me here, because this honestly fascinated me and I wanted to share it with you guys and hopefully inspire you guys to take it and just see if it resonates with you, see if it makes you realize anything, and like about yourself, about your relationships, about literally it just tells you so much. And I am in sales, obviously. And for my sales position, part of like what I was prompted to do was take this Enneagram test. And basically what it is it is an 180 question questionnaire, basically like about yourself. And it takes you through either different situations or just ask you more like about your personalities or how you react to things. And whenever I took it, I really, really tried to make it where I was just very honest with myself, because I think whenever you take these sort of like personality tests, it's really easy to answer how you want to be versus how you actually are. And it's one of those things where I'm like a firm believer that like, if you are almost like too honest with yourself, then I think that you're gonna see your results be like spot on. So anyways, it's basically this test, and I would say it took me, because I was really, really trying to like really think about my answers, I would say it takes probably about like an hour, I would say, to take. At least for me it did, just because I was really trying to answer the questions to the best of my like abilities. So I received my results back, and I wanted to kind of just explain how the results would look like and talk through mine, because like, at least for me, it was so eye-opening. Me, it honestly made me realize so much about myself, which like, yes, I knew, but it put it into the way that it was put, just honestly put so much to light about just how I am, how I react to things. And I don't know, it was just so fascinating. So I wanted to get into the Enneagram test today and highly encourage you guys to take it if you all have not. I actually printed off my results as well as some other things, which I'll get into later. But so on the Enneagram test, there's basically 9 types, quote unquote. So 1 through 9, and each of the 9 has a specific like name for it. So like 2s are helpers, 4s are called the individualist, 8s are challengers, 9s are the peacemakers. Like, so there's like a name for each type on the test. And then basically the test breaks down like your type in brief. It tells you your basic fears, your basic desires, a healthy version of yourself and kind of what that looks like, vice versa, the unhealthy version of yourself and what that looks like, your triggers, so like what can trigger you to cause you to go to maybe the unhealthy version of yourself, vice versa, what can trigger you to become a more healthy version of yourself, what motivates you, so it goes through your key motivators in this life. Then they have arrows is what they call it, and basically it tells you like whenever you get stressed or whenever you're heading in your most like unhealthy version of yourself, which direction, like which number do you then kind of start to embody, and then vice versa, like whenever you become like your healthiest version of yourself, then it kind of shows you like which nut, like which type you are and which one that you kind of start to embody. Because you mean, like, it's not like you're just like a set in stone, like one or two. Like you obviously will probably be like a little bit of like a mix between several numbers, but like overall, as far as like to like your core, as far as like your values and your desires and like what motivates you, it's pretty honestly accurate. And I've had my family do this, I had my clients do this, I had some of my coworkers do this, and it would like every single person that I was talking through with them, it was just so spot on, and it's fascinating. So I was gonna talk through mine just to kind of show you guys and kind of let you all see the type of information it gives you all. So I was the 2, which for me, this came as a shock. As soon as it said that I was type 2, the helper, I was like, I don't really think that that's right. And mind you, like I put thought into my answers. Like I made sure that I was not being nice to myself in that sense. Just, I mean like, okay, not being mean to myself, but some of the questions are like, do you consider yourself to be like more cynical or more, you know, like, so you just really have to come to terms with how you genuinely are, not how you would like to be. So anyways, it put me down as a helper, which at first I was like, I don't think that that's right. Just because like whenever I read the helper, I think of people like Katie Ryan. Like she was a former teammate of mine, and she is just like literally the best person on this earth. Like I have not met one person that has met her that does not think that she is just like the purest soul out here. Like it's just, if you know her, you love her, and she is just the greatest person ever. But she is like, as soon as I would read like the helper, she is like the first person that comes to my mind, just because she's so selfless and so soft and pure. And not saying that I'm not selfless or soft or pure, like I definitely am, but like that's not the first thing that comes to my head, you know? So, but then as I was reading more into it, I was like, okay, that kind of checks out. So I was deemed type 2, the helper. Some adjectives are generous, demonstrative, people-pleasing, possessive, caring. Okay, so now we're gonna kind of get into what it says about the like overall briefing of type 2s, our basic fears, desires, our healthy, unhealthy versions, all of that good tea. So it says type 2s in brief, so the helpers in brief are super empathetic, sincere, and warm-hearted. They are friendly, generous, and self-sacrificing, but can also be sentimental, very flattering, and people-pleasing. They are well-meaning and driven to be close to others, but can slip into doing things for others in order to be needed. They typically have problems with possessiveness and with acknowledging their own needs. At their best, they are unselfish and altruistic. They have unconditional love for others, which I would agree that that description, at my best, I think that honestly, that sums me up. As far as me being super friendly and generous, like if you all know me, I can literally talk to anyone on the streets. I can talk to anyone that I meet. I just love meeting people. I love being friendly. And I also love flattering people. I also love people pleasing. And I think that that's something that I talked about on the show before, is thing that I've honestly been working on is not people pleasing as much. And to do that, it comes with being able to set boundaries. It comes with knowing when to say no. It comes with knowing who to show up for whenever it's inconvenient for you. You know, it's knowing who to go out of your way for and recognizing who fills up your cup too. Like there's so much that goes into, for me at least, people pleasing and the desire to people please. And like I'm the type, and I was even talking with another type 2 as well one time, just like about, we were just kind of going through each little section of this, and whenever we were even talking about like the people pleasing aspect of it, she put it perfectly. She was like, I get to a point where like it doesn't matter if I have zero interest in the conversation. And she was like, not in like a rude way, but she was like, but genuinely, like I can sit next to someone and they'll start telling me something, and like I just have no desire to listen. Like I didn't ask for it. Like they just more so just kind of open up to it, which I mean like makes sense too, because I feel like if you are a 2, you see that people can sometimes open up to you more. Which we love as well because it makes us feel closer to you, which is also one of our like key factors is being close to others. But that's where there's like such a fine line between it. And I think it's so hard to navigate because it's like I could, which like this probably sounds terrible, but like I could have literally no desire in like the conversation or like what someone sitting next to me is starting to say. Not because again, like I don't like agree with them or like this and that, but it's just more so like sometimes I'm just out of even like the energy to engage. And it's like I could be at 1% and someone comes up to me and starts talking to me, and like I'm still gonna find a way to like give them something just because like I don't want them to like look at me like I was never there for them, or that I like never showed up for them, or that I like brushed them off whenever they were like whenever they were trying to share something with me. The thought of that and being looked at that way, for me at least, like scares me more than not having any energy, being super tired. Like I would rather have no energy and be super tired and have no time for myself than have someone feel like I brushed them off, or that I didn't make time for them, or that I didn't show up for them, regardless if like if it's my situation, like regardless of like how close we are, like it literally doesn't matter. Like I just, that's something that's really, really hard for me. But that's where I've been really trying to find kind of that fine line between knowing when to show up and knowing when to kind of set that boundary. Like I think people pleasing can be such a good thing. It can be such a positive thing if you set like a boundary for it. But if you constantly live your life in a people pleasing mode where you're just exerting all of your energy and time and effort into trying to please someone else's needs, you are never going to be taking care of your own needs. And that's kind of where I was at. Like I got to a point where I was trying to please so many other people's needs, whether it was like showing them how to do something or giving them advice or helping them with, like it was just like so many different big and small situations and circumstances where I would just try to be there and just please the needs of others, just because again, like that's what makes me feel the best and I love it. But it got to a point where I was putting off my own needs so much that I almost didn't even like recognize myself. Like I was not taking care of myself. I was just getting myself involved into not really bad things, but just things I would never intentionally get myself into. But because I was trying to satisfy someone else's needs or satisfy like what they wanted of me, I didn't even like think twice as far as like, is this something that I would actually do? And I would just do it because I was doing it for them. And for me, like if I was doing it for them, like if I was doing it for someone that I love and that I care for, like it didn't matter what I was doing. It was just like good, you know? And I was just getting away from who I was in a sense, as far as like how I was acting and how I was, it just wasn't me. Like it just really was not me. And that's where I think that people-pleasing can just have such a fine line. So anyways, people-pleasing, and it also says that we are driven to be close to others. For me, I mean, I've talked about it so many times on here. It's basically why I started this entire show, really to try to be close to as many people as I can and just be there for them and show them that you do belong and that you do deserve to find that connection and to feel that connection too. So I just love that. And then it also says, though, that twos typically have a problem with possessiveness and acknowledging their own needs, which, I mean, one, I get extremely possessive about so many things in my life, whether it's about my routine or about my people or about my lifestyle. Like, there's just so many things that, like, I can get so tunnel visioned on where it's like it has to be this way or it's not gonna work. Like I almost like freak out if it's like outside of my routine or outside of my, or it's like I almost freak out if it's outside of my routine or outside of my people. Like that brings me sometimes so much anxiety because I just get so sucked in. I get so like, I do get so possessive just about my life and my routine. And again, just like all the things that I just said, it's really easy for me to latch on to things, and that's where like I just get attached. Not really, I mean, like I do get attached quickly. I think I have gotten a lot better as far as not getting as deeply attached to people, But for me, I think being able to care without attaching myself all the way, like finding the balance between caring and attaching, I think that there is a difference. And for so long, I would just attach myself to people and just latch on to things. And that's where I think that the possessiveness came into play. So I'm still trying to work on that. But again, like I was literally like realizing so much of this after I took this test, because I was like, oh my gosh, like this is so spot on. So that was like the overall briefing of number two, the helper. And then it goes into your basic fear. So again, speaking for myself, because it's all that I can speak for, my basic fears are the fear of being unwanted and the fear of being unworthy of being loved, which those are pretty deep. I'm telling you, this test, the results, it gets pretty deep on you. But I mean, again, I love deepness, I love connection. And whenever I read that, like genuinely my biggest basic fear is being unwanted and being unworthy of being loved. Like that probably was one of the biggest, I want to say wake up call, but not really. It was almost like that was the biggest like thing that connected all of the dots for me. It was like the bow on top that really made all of my actions, my previous actions, how I used to be, how I am now. It just makes so much sense as far as how I act and honestly like what holds me back. Because I mean, again, I literally just said it, but I created this show to create a sense of belonging and to create a sense of connection. And really to break that down even further, like if I'm gonna be making a show to really embody and advocate and be the voice for belonging and connection, it's most likely because at some point in my life, I did not feel that way. And I can, like, I had a really hard time growing up. Now I feel like I'm finally starting to feel it, but for so long, I really struggled with a sense of belonging and a sense of trusting that people would want me just for me. You know, that's where I would find myself trying to fit, like I would find myself trying to fit into this box of what I thought that someone wanted to see out of me. Because I thought that if I acted, if I looked, if I behaved, if I did what they told me to, that would make them want me, that would make them love me. And it was almost like trying to fit a circle into a square. Like it was just to a point where like it was not fitting, but I was trying so hard to force things and to force relationships and to force just situations. And that's where, again, like I got so far from myself. I got so disconnected from who I was because I was trying to latch on to who these other people were and how they were living, and latch on to their routines and what they were doing and how they were dressing and how they were behaving and what they were, and like it was just nothing was mine. It felt like my routine did not feel like mine, my life did not feel like mine, my just literally like nothing felt like anything that I had genuinely wanted. It felt like my life felt like I was living it for someone else and I was not living it for myself. And as selfish as that sounds, like the way I was acting was not out of confidence. It was not out of pure intent. It was almost out of desperation to have these people love me and want me and for them to truly like see that I am worthy of being wanted and being loved. And I was just going to so many extremes to try to make people see that. And it, like, now I'm to a point where I am so confident in myself and what I can offer and what I can bring to the table that I know that I'm worthy of love. I know that I'm worthy of being wanted, but I do still feel that fear holding me back. And like even within my social media presence and with just trying to get my brand more like out there, I even still feel myself like holding back in a sense and almost like second guessing myself. Because again, like this show is created by me. Like it is just me to my core. And that's what I wanted to embody, is just who I am as a brand and just try to connect with you guys through that way. But that's where it's like even putting my brand out there and even posting my reels and even like just putting this brand out on social media, it still scares me so much because I'm so afraid of people seeing this brand and seeing me and thinking that it's not worthy and thinking that it's not good enough and thinking that it's not something that they would want to be a part of. Like, that to me honestly scares the fuck out of me. Just even that thought of people seeing my brand or going to Simply Use social media pages or even going to my pages and or even just meeting me in person and they think that, like, this isn't something that they would want to be a part of, or this isn't something, or that I'm not someone that they would want to love, that they would want to be around. Like, that just, it freaks, like, it honestly freaks me out. Like, it scares me and freaks me out. And that fear, it genuinely can hold me back so much. But I'm really, really trying to work on it. But, like, I always knew and felt something holding me back, but it was almost like I couldn't pinpoint it. And then I was like, whenever I read that, my basic fear was being unwanted and unworthy of love. I was like, that makes sense. Like, it literally makes sense. But it also makes sense in, like, what I made this entire page about too. So that's where I think that this can really be fun to read about, because you can see where your fears and your desires and where your motivators are actually playing into your life in real time. So that leads me to my basic desire is to feel loved. I feel like, again, that's so on brand. I love hugs. I love to feel close. I literally just love. I'm obsessed with love in all ways, shapes, or form. The small versions of love, the big versions of love, the rom-coms, like the cheesy type of love, the deep, the slow burn type of love. Like, it's just everything about it, I think, is just so important and so pure. And I genuinely do not think that there is something more important than love. Yes, I think trust. Yes, I think that being able to trust and being able to be committed and stay loyal to someone or to something obviously comes into play. But for me, at least, like, in order to trust someone, in order to stay loyal to someone and truly to commit to someone, that love is gonna have to be there. That being said, I do think that you can love something, love someone and set them free, that you can love someone and still choose to kind of go your own ways. Again, like, I even have situations in my life where that has happened. I think that those situations are so hard. But I do think that whenever it comes down to those things that I think can be argued as far as what is essential in this life, trust, loyalty, commitment, like, yes, those things are so important. But for me, at least, again, it's just like the helper in me. I can't imagine living without love, without experiencing love, without giving love. Like, and that's where too, like, whether or not you truly experience love or not, you can still give love. And that's something I really had to come to terms with, because for so long I was not feeling love externally. I was not seeing love externally, and it really made it hard. But that being said too, I was not giving myself any love internally either. And, like, I don't know, for me, I think it's one thing to expect to be loved, it's another to expect to give love. And if you can expect it out of yourself to give love to others, I don't care what it is gonna make you feel better. Like, what you pour out is what you're going to get back, whether or not it's an instant refill or if it's going to come later, you're going to get it back in some way, shape, or form. And I think whenever you aren't seeing love externally or you aren't feeling love externally, it can be so easy to, like, almost follow in that footsteps and not give out any love. You know, I think it's so easy to be a follower in that sense, just because, I mean, whenever you aren't seeing the love and you aren't feeling the love, like, it does instill not very good feelings. Like, for me, at least, it pisses me off. It makes me mad. It makes me really upset. It makes me question why they don't love me. It makes me question how I got in this situation. Like, it makes me more question everything about myself. And I think whenever you start to do that, and whenever you start to feel that frustration and feel just those feelings and those thoughts, that's whenever you can start to get in that cycle and be a follower of what those people created. But I just want to challenge us to choose to not live in that. Yes, you're going to feel it. It's normal, especially again, whenever you're not seeing or feeling that love externally. But that's where, though, like, I want to challenge you to, instead of responding with that same energy, can we still try to give out some love? Again, like, it doesn't have to be you go out and do all these crazy things, but it can just be, again, those small little acts of love. It can be as simple as waiting and holding the door open for someone, or for offering to take someone's plate to go throw, like, away. Like, it can be such small actions of love and for kindness to people. But I think if you just continue to choose to give out love, at some point it is going to be reciprocated. And that's where I think, choose to give love to expect love. Now it goes to the healthy versions of number two, the helper. Smiley, warm, and more than willing to help anyone who crosses their path. Genuinely compassionate, share their kindness without any strings attached, responsible, and intuitive. I would say whenever I am at my healthiest, all of those things are right in line. Like, I am more than willing to literally, like, help out anyone. Like, literally, I was having such a good day the other day, and I was out at Ulta and TJ Maxx, and there was, like, this older woman, and she just had, like, a bunch of bags, and I just offered to carry her bags and her car to her, just because, like, again, like, I just felt so good in that moment that I, so, like, I do honestly, like, agree that whenever I am my best and my healthiest, I would agree, like, I'm warm, I'm soft, I'm a lover girl, I will literally, like, go and help anyone, and just, like, be kind. Like, I don't know, I feel like that's just kind of how I am. And also the last two things about being responsible and intuitive, I would also agree. I think that whenever I am my healthiest, like, I have my priorities on straight. My routine is pretty structured. I don't really go off that too much. But I just think that my priorities and responsibilities, I think, are more in line with where I want to go, so to speak. Then that brings me to the unhealthy version. It says passive aggressive and neglects their own needs, which that also was spot on too. Whenever I am in my unhealthy version of myself, I would definitely agree I can be passive aggressive, because I can be confrontational for sure, but whenever it comes to my own needs and speaking up and using my voice to advocate for my needs and what I need or what I want that I feel like I'm missing, I, like, 8 out of 10 times, I'm probably gonna go the passive aggressive route, where I'm gonna, like, say it without saying it, or, like, I'm gonna, like, poke at you without, like, stabbing, you know, like, it's just, like, so yeah, I would definitely agree that I can be passive aggressive and neglect my own needs. Absolutely. It kind of, again, goes into, like, my healthy version, again, is, like, responsible. Again, like, I was talking about being in routine and having my priorities set straight and in alignment with, like, where I want to go. Vice versa, though, I have also seen where, like, I am, whenever I am more in, like, my unhealthy version of myself, I typically neglect my own needs, or I neglect my own priorities, actually, I would say, more so than my needs. Because I feel like my needs, like, I always make time to work out and, like, get myself together. But as far as my priorities go, that's where I've seen whenever I'm unhealthy, I let my priorities kind of slack in the cracks. Then my triggers. Triggers 4-2 says excessive self-sacrifice, lack of boundaries, desire for validation, and emotional exhaustion. If that does not sum up me to a core, I'm, like, literally spot on. Excessive self-sacrifice, that is spot on. I definitely do agree that whenever I'm in that mode, I can actually relate to that pretty recently, truthfully, just within trying to balance, like, my sales with my lessons and with the podcast. It took me a long time to navigate just that routine and how I can be there for all of those people and all of my clients, whether it was for sales, lessons, or my podcast, as well as be there for myself and my friends and my family. It felt impossible to figure out a way to balance both of them. And it got to a point where I was sacrificing all of my own needs. I was sacrificing me time where I never even like got me time. Like I literally, like there was probably about like a 1 to 2 month period time where I was going from 6 a.m. until 10 p.m. literally meeting with clients, training girls, talking with their parents. Like there was no time for purely me time. And then even after that, like after I would do that, I would either be working on the podcast or I would be responding to personal emails, or then I would go meet my friends for dinner and catch up with them because I hadn't seen them in a long time, or I would go hang out with my parents. So it was like as soon as like a window opened up, I would always make sure that I was sacrificing my own needs and my own time to go be with someone else. And like, yes, like that is good. That is all okay. Again, like show up for your people. But whenever it comes to an excessive amount, and that's where like mine got to, like I literally went, I remember a full month and I did not have like a single day where it was purely just to myself. I was either always working or I was always like with someone doing something, helping them or like meeting them out for dinner, which again, like that's super fun. But again, like you, it's just for me at least, I'm not the type of person, my battery level will just literally be at pure empty, and I will try to like scrape up like oil like out of the freaking engine to try to fill up my tank just to give someone that little ounce of oil. Like it's just, it gets so excessive with me, and that's where like for me, I have to, like I've learned, I have to find time to prioritize me time. I have to find time to prioritize giving back to myself and slowing down and finding time to give back to myself. Like that is essential, unless, because if I don't, the opposite, kind of like the vice versa of that, of what my life is going to look like, is me just constantly on the go, constantly just giving to people and showing up for my clients more, whether it's for sales again or lessons and training or like the podcast or my family or friends. Like I would just be, again, showing up more for them. And again, like I have to prioritize it basically. So agreed. The triggers, excessive self-sacrifice, absolutely, just talk through. Lack of boundaries. I feel like I talked about this on so many shows. Setting boundaries is something that is not easy. It's, again, putting your own needs, putting your own self-respect before anything and anyone else. And to do that, it comes with courage. It comes with sacrifice in general. And that's something that I've been really trying to focus on. So I would agree, lack of boundaries. Desire for validation, I would also agree. I think that is something that goes into my desire to feel loved, but also my fear of not being wanted and not being loved as well too. Validation for me, I've gotten to a point where I am confident enough to go after what I believe I'm capable of without having that validation come to me. But that being said, I would be lying if I said that I don't seek validation in what I do. Again, it's not gonna stop me if I don't see it, but I am always going to seek it though. And that's where like I tried so hard and for so long to not want people to tell me that my podcast means something to them, or that they related, or that they could, or that they could resonate with my episode, or for this little small thing that I said, or just even hearing like positive feedback from my girls or like their parents, and that they really like enjoy my training or just like my time with them, or even for sales with my clients, like just getting that reinforcement with my clients that they enjoy like partnering with me and just like all the work that like I'm doing for them. Like it's just, for me, hearing it is kind of like that tying the bow. Like it's really sealing the deal for me that like what I'm doing is like fulfilling the purpose that I feel like I have. And truly, I feel like my purpose is to make a difference. And just, I think hearing that validation that I did make a difference or that I can make a difference, like, that is by far the most fulfilling thing that I could ever hear in my life. And then, of course, emotional exhaustion. That definitely is spot on. I get emotionally exhausted to the point where I crash out. Just like I said, like, I will be on empty and I'll be trying to scrape for more gas, you know? Like, I will always try to find a way to keep pouring into others without pouring into myself. But again, I'm trying to work on that. So brick by brick, always, we're gonna get there. Really, just to sum this up, actually not really, we're not there yet. Some key motivators, which this was also very interesting. Wanting to be loved, to express their feelings for others, to be needed and appreciated, to get others to respond to them, and to vindicate their claims about themselves. Again, I feel like all of those motivators really just leads back to wanting to be loved and to express my feelings for others and wanting to be needed and appreciated. Again, like, as selfish as that sounds, I feel like that really just stems from me wanting to, again, just build a sense of belonging and build a sense of connection where you all feel like you all are needed. Where it's hard to explain, but I would agree that just truly what does motivate me is, I mean, yes, like, I think that my purpose is to make a difference, and I think to make a difference that comes on some level to be needed and to be appreciated. And for me, like, knowing that I'm needed makes me so happy. Like, knowing that someone needs me and can count on me and can come to me if they ever need advice, like, just that makes me feel like worthwhile, you know? Like, I love being that person for someone. I love being someone's rock. That to me is like, it means everything to me. So I would definitely agree that that is one of my biggest motivators, as well as obviously just wanting to be loved. Obviously, that's one of my biggest fears, but also one of my biggest motivators, of course, too. So that was just really, I think, interesting to see, to say the least. And then arrows, which this part really, really interested me, because this basically tells you, like, whenever you're your most stressed or you're your most unhealthy version, like, which direction do you choose? Like, which direction do you go and which direction do you kind of start to embody? Vice versa, whenever you are your most, like, free-flowing and whenever you're really chasing after, like, self-growth, it tells you which type you are embodying more, too. So, for me, whenever I am my most stressed and unhealthy version of myself, I become an 8, the challenger, which makes literally so much freaking sense. So, whenever I become stressed and unhealthy, I become aggressive and dominant. I'm like, hello, like, is that not spot on, you guys? What, are you kidding me? What, like, what? So also with the challenger, like, part of the challenger's trait, again, that's type 8. So I go from like a type 2 more to a type 8 whenever I get super stressed and I'm just not in the right state of mind or frequency. And part of being an 8, the challenger, is, yes, being aggressive and dominant, at least from like a 2 becoming an 8. Like, those are the traits that I kind of carried over from the challengers. But also with challengers, they become super impulsive as well. They becoming aggressive, becoming dominant, being impulsive and wanting to see control. Those 4 things, whenever I feel super stressed and just not in like a healthy state of mind or at a healthy freedom, or at a healthy frequency, I most definitely feel myself go into that direction. So that was just super, super eye-opening to me, because I mean, like, I can feel myself whenever I get super stressed, like, I will want to either try to control the situation, which then will make me crash out, because if I'm stressing, I probably am losing control, so then I'm trying to gain back control of the situation, which is damn near probably impossible at that point, which then will make me crash out, which then will probably make me get aggressive. And that's where, like, I can just really see that, again, like, it just all ties together for me. Like, this really all kind of connected the dots. Vice versa, whenever I am moving in a state of growth and kind of just fluidity, it says that I go more toward type four. Type four is the individualist, which really was eye-opening to me as well, because whenever I'm at my most healthy kind of form, I become self-nurturing and emotionally aware. So I become more of like a healthy four, and a few other qualities that come from being a type four, being an individualist, is to not necessarily like do things for yourself, but it's more so just you do a lot of like introspection. Like you really understand your thoughts. You really have a deep understanding as far as your core values and kind of the why behind what you're doing. And it really comes to a point where like part of being like a type four, one of their like key motivators and desires is to like let others like see and feel and have that level of deep self like awareness to themselves too, which again, like I can see myself whenever I am and feel my healthiest, like I do get so in tune with just my thoughts and my emotions and what I'm doing and my actions and my behaviors. And I mean, with that too, I literally feel myself trying to like put that out onto others too. So I thought that was just honestly one of the coolest parts about this, is just to see how you gravitate in different directions whenever you're stressed versus whenever you're in that state of frequency more moving towards growth too, because you start to see different qualities of different types come out that are still inherently like a part of yourself too. So that was just super, super interesting. And really just to wrap this all up, at least for type two, the helpers, it says these are the type that are either the most genuinely helpful to others, or when they are less healthy, they are the most highly invested in seeing themselves as helpful, which that line hit me like a fucking truck, because it says when they are less healthy, they are most highly invested in seeing themselves as helpful. So, which is really, really crazy, because I'm really thinking about it, like at my most unhealthy state, it's almost like I convince myself that I'm helping others, that I'm showing up, and that I'm being there for others, when in reality, like I'm honestly probably just hurting the situation. And it's crazy because whenever I'm my healthiest version, like I don't even have to like convince myself that I am helping others. Like I don't even think about it. Like I was even just talking with one of my coworkers this past week, even just with about my lessons, my mentorship, just because it's starting to really take off. I'm at 90 girls now, which is so exciting. I'm about to hit the big 100, which is super exciting. And like he was just saying like how great that is, and he was like, that's like huge, Carly. Like I don't think that you realize like how much that like you're actually doing. And I was like, I don't really either. And he was like, no, like you are helping like so many girls at such like a prime important age. And I was like, that's actually so true. But like I just think that recently I've been really trying to prioritize just my overall like well-being, and I would say I've been really moving in more of like a healthier direction, which feels really, really nice and good. But that's where like I haven't even thought about myself as like helping these girls, because it's just something that like I know that I'm doing, you know, like it's a no-brainer that I'm gonna go and train these girls and mentor these girls, like it's a no question. But vice versa though, like I've like that made me think about times whenever I was genuinely having to like almost convince myself that I was helping the situation, and that was just such an eye-opening line as well too. So then it says being generous and going out of their ways for others makes twos feel at their richest, and like that's the most meaningful way to live. The love and concern they feel and the genuine good they do warms their hearts and makes them feel worthwhile. Twos are most interested in what they feel to be the really, really good things in life. Love, closeness, sharing, family, and friendship. I'm like, that line, literally, I think you guys, sums me up in itself. Basically, it is saying that I am most interested in love, closeness, sharing, family, and friends. Like, It just literally is amazing, guys. And I know that that was a lot about just kind of breaking down who I am and more about my personality, but I just hope that that can inspire you guys to take this test, because again, for me, like it not only connected so many dots for me, it also made me reflect and do so many situations that I've got myself into in my past, and honestly, like, kind of let myself give myself some grace in a weird way, because it just brought a level of understanding to situations and why I was getting myself into situations like I was doing. It really just connected the dots in that way too. So I would highly, highly recommend taking the Enneagram test. Again, it is 180 question test. More about your personality. Again, I would be super honest with, again, who you are right now and not where you want to be. So as hard as that is, it is so worth it just to really learn more about yourself. So I hope that you all take the Enneagram test. If you have, please comment below what type you are, and I would love to break that down. And if you are a fellow two, comment below too. My twos, my helpers, much love for you guys. And just know that you are needed and appreciated, and you are loved and wanted too. So that being said, I hope that you all have time to take that test. I truly think that it can just teach you a lot about yourself, a lot about your relationships, your intentions, your values, and kind of taking it a step further too. Like for me, I had my family members take it. I had my friends take it. So once you take it and once you see your results, I would honestly push your partner to take it. I would push your parents to take it, your siblings to take it, just because, again, like, you can not only learn about yourself, you can also learn about your support system or your peers. And I think that seeing their personality broken down like this, it can just be so eye-opening too. So I don't know, there's just so many good things that can come from it. So I would just highly recommend taking the Enneagram test. And with that being said too, I hope that you all have a phenomenal week, a phenomenal day, and thank you all so much again for tuning in on Simply You.